Afternoon, ladies and gents. Mind of Zazima back. It is beautiful, nice, warm, cool breeze weather in Florida. Cannot complain. But I will do a little bit of complaining of why I'm making the podcast today. I'm going to talk a little bit of sports. My San Antonio Spurs have begun to turn it around. Begun to turn it around. Now, are we title contenders? Far from it right now. But I do want to talk about the process we've made so far as the course of the season has went by. First things first, I'd like to give a quick shout out to is Popovich proving a lot of people wrong. Granted, I was somebody who was criticizing Popovich as well. But he has done his part in adjusting the lineups and giving certain players more minutes. So for that, 100% hats off to him. Pop is a Hall of Fame coach. But anybody who knows me personally knows I've had my gripes with Pops over the past few years. It's just very nice to see that he's kind of turning back the clock a little bit with the adjustments. Now that we got that side note out the way, let's talk about our lineups. When we first started, our first lineup during the year was, our first lineup during the year was the Jeremy Sochan experiment era, him at point guard, Fassell at the two guard, Keldon at the three, Wimbe at the four, and Collins at the five. That lineup was not too great, and not to say the players were whack, but the experiment of Pop having Jeremy Sochan run point guard has its due diligence in terms of giving Jeremy more of an opportunity to be a facilitator or a playmaker in his game. But during the beginning of the season, it didn't help out as much with the success of the overall team since he was still experimenting, trying to work out the kinks, which rightfully so, that's what he should do. But quite frankly, it was not a good fit for him to be a point guard. And thankfully, now he's back at the four and he still has that playmaking role, but he's no longer playing the point guard position. Now, thank the heavens we have Trae Jones. But back to our first starting lineup. We had Zach Collins at the five and Wimbe at the four. As we know now, Wimbe at the five has been a monster among men over the past 10 games or so, averaging damn near, I believe, 24, four assists, eight rebounds, 2.6 blocks around that, maybe more rebounds. But point is, this is all within less than 25 minutes of game time overall. So, in the beginning of this season, the lineup wasn't all too bad. Wimbe was still adjusting to the NBA, learning how to get familiar with his teammates, learning the sets and real action play, real time instead of through practice. We looked fairly okay. The only issue really came from the shot selections we've had, primarily Wimbe taking a lot of unnecessary threes or pull-up threes, Devin Vassell continuously still taking very extremely difficult shots when he has options to drive it to the paint or get a nice pick and roll just to get a nice pull up too, if anything. But no, he settles for a lot of typical shots. Keldon Johnson, nothing has changed from the beginning. This dude plays like Westbrook to the max. He has his moments. I love his drive. He has a place on our team. But that aspect of Westbrook where he just puts his head down and just drives without a plan sometimes, like it harms more than helps. I love the energy. I love the big bully dog that he tries to be sometimes going into the paint, but for a team excuse me, for a team that's still trying to figure it out, sometimes you could use that, but for the most part, during a good stretch of run, we don't need you going head first into the basket hoping for a foul. Zach Collins, boy oh boy, Zach Collins. I have a love and hate relationship with this guy. I've been a big fan of him even back when he was on the Trailblazers. Granted, he was injured most of the time, but the times he did play, I was a fan of his game. Now that he's on my team, he's produced some solid work in the beginning of the season. I believe he was averaging around 14 and 7, more or less. Don't quote me if I'm wrong. I don't have the stats in front of me, but based off memory, he was averaging around that. And at a certain point, we were using him as a high-key facilitator at the top of the key. He can find a cutting Trae Jones, a cutting Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell slashing, or Wimbe for the three, vice versa. There was a certain point where we used him fairly good as a facilitator at the top of the key. Now that's kind of regressed a little bit, and normally I wouldn't fault them too much about that because as the season progresses, the way you play might change a little bit. But where I do fault Zach Collins, even back then, primarily back then and still now, is the unnecessary amount of threes that he chucks up. I wish I could have the stats in front of you right now, because I don't want to overemphasize or over-exaggerate the amount of threes he takes. But during the game, man, during a full course of a game, it feels like he takes 20 threes, which that's not true. But and realistically speaking, he takes about 5 to 7 threes a game, and let's say 5 or 4 of them are heavily unnecessary, taking an early open three at the top of the key when you could have passed it down. Sometimes, I know, granted, if you're open, you got to take the shots, but if there's a better play, you might as well look for the better play, or taking shots where you could have easily drove it into the paint yourself instead of looking for the play. There's a lot of things about the Zach Collins experiment right now that is kind of making my brain hurt, because I do like what he brings to the team offensively. Defensively, there's a lot left to be desired. He does what he can, you know, there's, God bless him, but I do like what he brings to the team. Granted, I don't think we ever should have started him, but who do we really have? I know Charles Bassey was doing really well for us at a certain point before he tore his ACL. Shout out to my boy. But that's what we had. We worked with it in the beginning of the season, and it looked nice at certain parts of the game. But as you know, we gave up a lot of threes. We turned the ball over a lot, and we were the third quarter. The third quarter goblins, man. Anybody and everybody in the NBA can come into our stadium right now and drop more than 40 points in the third quarter in the beginning of the season. We were that bad coming out of the half. Now, things are improving heavily. Now that we have the starting lineup of Trey Jones, Devin Vassell, Julian Champagne, Jeremy Sochan, and Wimbe, it completely changes the dynamic of how things work. Granted, Wimbe being at the five is probably one of the best decisions that needed to be made from the jump, even if Wimbe has come out and said he doesn't personally think he's a center, but he'll play the role Pop puts him in. With the lineup we have right now, with Trey Jones in and Wimbe, the connection is impeccable. The vibes are immaculate. Trey Jones is not no Steve Nash, but he's the best we got. And also, he's a maestro at having an assist to turnover ratio. Honestly, I know I do love Tyus Jones as well. Both of the Joneses brothers have a special place in my heart. If we ever lost Trey, God forbid, we could always try to get Tyus. You know, I'm not discriminate about them. But yeah, with Trey Jones in the lineup now, it opens up the floor completely with the way he plays. Because Trey Jones is not the type of player who's going to look to score primarily. He's mostly going to look to dish the ball or make the right play, even if he's not getting the assist. Granted, a nice pick and roll with Wimbe. He finds Devin Vassell cutting, and then Devin Vassell finds Julian Champagne in the corner for a three, as an example. Even if he doesn't get the assist, he still facilitated that play to where Vassell was able to find Champagne due to the pass he made. Devin Vassell, right now, I want to sit down. Excuse me, Ducks. Devin Vassell, I have a personal message for you, bro. From the bottom of my heart, you have been one of, if not my favorite players since coming into the league. You play for my Spurs. I will always have respect for my Spurs players. You need to be more aggressive sometimes in finding the easiest shot. You're that talented where you can make a bunch of contested shots, threes, contested layups as well. Don't get me wrong. No disrespect to your skill. But sometimes you need to play smarter and not harder. There are too many moments where I see you driving to the paint, taking a step back into a fadeaway two with a hand in your face when you could have at least dished the ball out or try to weasel your way into the paint for a foul. Nobody likes contact, but the amount of settling you do for the jump shots instead of driving it into the paint, that's one thing I would love to see you work on. I'm acting as if Devin Vassell is ever going to hear this fucking podcast, but that's one thing I would love for him to work on, just having more confidence into sometimes saying, fuck it, let me not settle for a pull-up two or a pull-up three. Let me actually drive into the paint and see if I can get some contact. If not the contact, let me see if I can actually try to finish. Nobody wants to get hurt. I know that Vassell has had his injury problems before. God bless, he has been on a good streak right now, but at the same time, a player to his caliber, he needs to be more aggressive in the paint, and he needs to find a better way to be more involved as a teammate. Granted, recently he's been much more better with his assists and rebounds compared to the beginning of the season, but that's one thing he should work on as well. Points are amazing, but what makes a player really valuable is what else they can do. Because, bro, look at Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas can get you buckets any day of the night. He's a little bit of a Wiggins, and my NBA terms with my buddies, a Wiggins being somebody who's hella inconsistent, aka Andrew Wiggins. But yeah, he's a Wiggins, but he could easily give you 30 a night if you give him the ball. But that's the only thing Cam Thomas realistically gives you, scoring. Scoring goes a long way when it comes to winning a game, but in this modern day NBA, you need to have more than just the ability to put the ball in the hoop. You either need to defend really well, you need to be a decent facilitator, you need to be able to crash the boards and have good hustle. There needs to be more than just being a good scorer. And Devin Vassell, you are right there. If anything, you are already past that. You just need to keep building on it. Sorry for that little rant about Vassell. I genuinely love this dude, man. I've watched every single moment of him since he's came into the NBA. One of my favorite players. Now, Keldon Johnson. Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't want to listen to this podcast anymore, that is fine. Because what I'm about to say about Keldon Johnson might shock some of you, it might make you laugh, it might make you cringe. But here we go. Keldon Johnson, you son of a gun. Ugh. You make me so mad, I don't even want to curse. Your energy, his energy, is something that's really important to this team because we do not have a spark plug, emotionally speaking, not scoring wise. We don't have a spark plug like Keldon Johnson, who has that level of energy. Granted, he is the longest tenure Spurt as well, so give the man props. But there's a lot of moments. A lot of moments. And if you're an NBA fan who even watches any Spurs games, regardless of win, but you'll know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of moments where he has that Westbrook in him. He said it himself. His biggest favorite player was Russell Westbrook, and he tried to mold his game after him. There are some similarities, they're not entirely the same, but these moments, they look bar identical. The unnecessary pull-up threes, the unnecessary driving to the paint with your head down with no plan, the reach-in fouls. Now, granted, fouls are bar to none. It happens to anybody. But the way he plays sometimes, you could just hope he can understand the heat of the moment. I'm not saying don't shoot the ball because you need to have confidence. But if you're not feeling it, or if Wembe's feeling it, if Keldon is feeling, he is Keldon. If Trey Jones is feeling it, if Sochan is feeling it, maybe consider making the extra pass, even if you just gave up an open three. But if you don't have it right now, regardless of confidence, think of the better of the team, man. My God, dude. I sound like such a salty fan right now towards Keldon Johnson, but there's been too many games where he does great for the most part, but then come crunch time, for some reason, he has butterfingers. For some reason, he can't make a three. For some reason, when he goes into the paint, he literally just flops himself in there sometimes, hoping for a call. Very, very, very strong love-hate relationship with Keldon Johnson. It's been many years that I've watched him play. I've enjoyed his growth, but that's the part of the game that he still has not fully matured out of, which is knowing when to go apeshit and knowing when to just kind of keep it copacetic and maybe be level-headed. And lastly, Wembanyama. What is there to say about Wembanyama? Well, for starters, one of the greatest players to have ever blessed the court in the NBA. God forbid he gets injured. This man is special. This man is going to be amazing for the years to come. A lot of promising things. He started off the season kind of rough, trying to get familiar with everything, with the way things work, especially with his own game. Now he's falling right into place. One of the biggest reasons why he's falling more into place or feeling more comfortable is he's no longer settling for nothing but jump shots. So in the beginning of the season, for the course of the first 15 to 20 games, more or less, around that time, he was still kind of working out where he should be in terms of the offense for himself. He was taking a lot of threes. He was taking a lot of twos, jump shots, or whatever. Some of them were made, some of them were not. But there was very little post play or interior play unless it was a fast break or unless it was an easy basket that somebody was able to pass him to. Now, he's gotten more comfortable into getting into the post, whether he's going to face up or whether he's going to back somebody down or whether he's going to pass out. He's getting a lot more comfortable into being more engaged in that area. He still shoots threes. He'll still take a pull up two every now and then during a game, but now he's transitioned his game to being nothing more than a tall jump shooter to actually using his size to command his presence, even if he doesn't score, even if he doesn't get the actual assist. There's a level of maturity that's happening for this 19-year-old that is impeccable to see. If we somehow get Herb Jones, which he's on the trading block, I think he would be in a perfect addition to the Spurs. If we somehow get Herb Jones, or if we somehow get the man's dream, the pipe dream, Trae Young, there's a lot of promising things for this Spurs team. But right now, we've amped up the defense. We've cut back a lot on the turnovers. We still turn over the ball, don't get me wrong. We're still the youngest team in the NBA, but we turn down the turnovers. We also have done a much better job at defending, not giving up as many threes. And also, I think the most important part, we are coming out better in the second half. Most games that we played this year, if you watch almost every single Spurs games, there's been a lot of games we got blown out, so it happens. We're not that great of a team right now, but most of the games we've partaken in were fairly close or not far out of reach in the first half. But because of that third quarter horrendous stretch we had during the first 20 or 30 games of the season, it doesn't matter if it was a 5-point game or 8-point game, or even if we had the lead, we would give that up and be down by 20, 15 by going into the fourth. We were just horrible. So that's one thing we have adjusted a lot. I think it has more to do with the communication with everybody and primarily just Blake Wesley. Let me give him a special shout out as too, because Malachi Brennan, he belongs in the G League. All respects to Mr. Freeze, but I don't want him on the team right now with the way he's playing. Not because he's a bad player offensively. He is one of the worst players defensively in the NBA right now, bar none. By defensive metrics, I think he's a minus something. I can't really remember the number, but he is awful right now defensively. So Blake Wesley, not amazing offensively. He's fairly nice, but he has a lot of hustle, a lot of effort, and he is a dog on defense. So this man has earned my minutes, my trust, acting as if I'm the coach, but this man has earned my trust to be on this team, to take over Malachi Brennan's minutes in the time being while he goes to the G League and do his thing. But very promising. Chetty Osman, I love you, man. We're probably going to have to trade you if we want to get some acquisitions or pieces, or maybe you want to win a title. You deserve one, man, honestly. Doug McDermott, Dougie McBuckets, I'm going to miss you if you have to go as well. But you guys have been really great, veteran pieces for our team. And if you guys stay, that's great. But right now, the Spurs have a bright future. Now, where we end this season, obviously, we most likely are not making a play. And if we do, hallelujah. And I'm owed some money from a few of my friends. But besides that, we are in a really good spot right now. We're playing really good basketball. Even if we're not winning every single game, we are making sure that we're competing.